This is kind of fun, you know. I'm not used to being in here, but the faces are the same, so that's great. How we doing?
Good.
I appreciate that. Kind of lets me know how the evening's going to go here. We're going to be in John 15 today. Kind of focusing on verses 4 through 6. And we're going to get a running start here from verse 29 in chapter 14. We'll start with Caleb, and we'll go clockwise. And if you are not comfortable reading or just simply don't want to, you just bump your neighbor next to you. Start in John 14, verse 29, reading through chapter 15 through verse 6. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here.
I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit.
You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they are burned.
So, I got to be careful when I say this. I mean, I appreciate all Scripture, but I remember the first time I read through this and really understood. I'm thankful for Jesus. He is the perfect teacher. He is the perfect communicator. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, and we come forth from the vine. And so, you know, 4 and 5 are pretty similar here. Abide in me, I in you. If you abide, you're going to bear fruit. If you don't, you're not going to bear fruit. And that's probably because you're lying on the ground, having fell off, not connected to the vine any longer. So I guess the first thought that kind of comes to my mind when reading through this is, he says, abide in me, and I in you. You're either in or you're out. This isn't the Four Corners Monument. Who's actually ever been there? The Four Corners Monument there in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico. You know, in one spot, you can be in four different places, right? That's pretty interesting. I've never quite been there, but driven by, and, you know, this isn't like that. You're either in or you're out. You're either in Christ, and you're attached to the vine, or you're not. You know, plain and simple. And so the thought that I wrote down was, you know, we were willing to do anything to be grafted into this vine. We were willing to repent from whatever opinions or lifestyles that we had, okay, to get in. And so the encouragement I just kind of want you guys to take from today is, let's continue to be willing to do anything to remain grafted in. And let's continue to remain willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to say that we are in and we are part of the vine that is Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. As we're turning there, I'll kind of always like to remind everyone, I'm really thankful for the group to get a chance to hear from someone different. I get a chance to interact with different groups every week, and I really appreciate your guys' input. You know, I got a ton of notes written down tonight, and I don't think we're going to get through them all. Okay? But, you know, I write them down, and I just want you to know, I really look forward to your guys' thoughts. So I really encourage you to chime in. You ain't got to raise your hand, just... if you think of something, just shout it out. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul reminds the Romans, saying, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Let's go back to John chapter 11. You know, really appreciating the magnitude of that message there, that if indeed you abide in that vine, there is no condemnation. The worst thing mankind can do to you is kill your fleshly body. Okay? And they did that to Jesus. And God caused it to bring about the most amount of good in the history of our world. He will do the same thing for you. Okay? They're really appreciating the life we have in Jesus. And in John chapter 11, in verse 25, Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Answer, do you believe this? And Jesus is asking you the same question. Do you believe this? But you see, there is no condemnation for those who abide in the vine that is Jesus Christ. Just letting that message sink in for a moment, and it's because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You know, the only way in into Christ is to be immersed into Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. We know this well. We'll kind of just touch on it real quick. Romans 6 verse 4 says, "Therefore we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Kind of works through a little bit of the old man's dead and along with sin with it. And down in verse 11 he says, "So consider yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Guys, this has been made possible through Jesus' resurrection. You know, so the way to get into Christ is through immersion. And when we're in there, there is life even if we die in this world. And it's because Jesus lives. You know, I'm reminded, you know, First Peter chapter 3, 21, man, that was one of those first verses I had to get memorized when I became a Christian. You know, corresponding to this, baptism saves you. Not as removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a clean conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's really grateful that there is life in Christ. And he says, "Abide in me and I in you." And if indeed we do, it is truly a great abode that we have. And so, valuing this abode. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Super important that we value this abiding that we have in Christ and Christ in us, and also that we continue to do and be willing. It's necessary to maintain and to continue to strengthen that abiding that we have in Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, I forget where we left off. We're just going to grab verses 8 and 9, whoever we ended with in opening here.
"More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ."
And verse 9.
"Okay. "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through Christ, through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith."
Super important that we value this abiding that we have with Christ Jesus, and that we're also willing to continue to sacrifice to maintain and strengthen that abiding that we have with Jesus, so that, as Paul says here, that we may be found in him. That when Jesus comes back to deal out retribution to this world, that those who are indwelt and clothed with his Spirit will be found in Christ Jesus. You see, you get in and the work begins, right? And so that's why I'm really thankful for the church, because we're here to help make sure that everyone makes it, right? Let's go to Acts chapter 17. It's kind of working on the thought to really appreciate the abode that we have in Christ Jesus. You know, the group here, we appreciate the message that the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And we understand that. So we'll just kind of touch on this briefly. But in Acts chapter 17, in verse 22, it says, "Paul stood up in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you, The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. From the Spirit and inspired apostle himself, God's message is, what is there in this life that you could build for me that could house my presence and be good enough? It's nothing made with human hands. And to see the work through the law and through the tabernacle and the temple that God was using to try to communicate the value of the temple, but yet even then, God never returned to that physical building, did he? But that he did choose us in him, as Ephesians 1 says, before the foundation of the world. You see, there is a dwelling place in this life that is good for God, that he wants and that he desires, and it's us. I mean, I kind of get goosebumps as I try to remind myself of that as often as possible. Let's go back to John chapter 14. Jesus is talking to the apostles here. We went over this, I almost said a couple weeks ago. I guess it's been a couple months. But in John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." That is powerful. I mean, that's humbling to think that our God desires to live in us. There's nothing that mankind could build with all the money and resources and power and architectural ingenuity that's good enough for God. But he desires the hearts of mankind, especially those hearts that desire to love God and to obey his commandments. Any comments on that before we kind of move on? All right. And the other thing I just brought out, it's necessary to maintain and strengthen that abiding. You get shacked up with the Spirit, okay? Now the relationship's got to grow. Okay, the encouragement is not to grieve the Spirit, not to quench the Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Starting in verse 14, Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God." How much do we meditate on this and believe it? Paul says he bows his knee. That when he prays to our Father God, his prayer is so that the church would be strengthened through the Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. How much do you believe that message? How convicted are you? To no one's fault, except probably Satan himself, you hear Jesus lives in your heart. And if you don't know this Ephesians passage, it might make you cringe a little bit. Why? Because the way that's been twisted out in the religious marketplace. You guys know what I'm talking about? Hey? That if you'll just believe Jesus is the Son of God and accept him as your Lord and Savior, then he will come and live in your heart. Guys, if you're a Christian, you've repented. You've confessed that Jesus is Lord God Yahweh, King of Kings, and been immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus lives in your heart. But it's in a measure of accordance to your faith. And so, I just want to encourage us in this section to not go so far in the other direction. Because there's a message out there. It's from Satan, and it's you can pray Jesus into your heart. And it's wrong, and it's not what Jesus teaches. But Jesus does live inside your heart. And so, not to go so far in the other direction where we swing the other way to where we kind of put a taboo on anything related to Jesus being in me, being in my heart. Does that make sense? I thought the men's prayer breakfast, which has been incredibly encouraging. And I'll just speak for myself. Probably one of the most exciting things I have been a part of. Don't want to forget my wife. One of the most exciting things I've been a part of in the last few months with the church. I mean, real men, real Christians, coming together in real prayer to our God. That's fellowship to me. Guys, I like coffee with the best of you, and I like potluck. And I'm going to keep going, and those are great opportunities to learn more about one another. But guys, when you're praying together through adversity, through rejoicing, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep in prayer to our God. That's been amazing. And so if you have the opportunity to be there, I'd really encourage you guys to come. It's been great.
What time is it?
It's at 9 a.m.
Saturday?
One Saturday a month.
Which one? Third
Saturday. Third Saturday. We usually announce it about a week ahead of time, too, in assembly. Yeah. So this last time we were together, you know, Roger made a really good point. He said something to the effect of kind of what I'm bringing out right now. And so, not to swing so far in the other direction where, guys, where we leave Jesus on these pages and we forget that He's with us. Okay? He has given us His Spirit so that we can go out into the world and walk in faith as Jesus did. You know, how did Jesus do that? How did He come and face the same temptations that we face, yet without sin? Or nor was there any deceit found in His mouth. You guys, He always looked to the Father and always obeyed the will of the Father. You see, the Christian now has that ability because Jesus is marching alongside you. He's marching with you. And so just want to, you know, just kind of touch on that for a second and make sure we don't swing so far in that other direction where we're like, taboo, taboo message of Jesus in your heart. Guys, like, listen, that needs to be straightened out in the streets. That needs to be straightened out in our personal Bible studies and group Bible studies with people. But Jesus does come and He does live in your heart, and it's so that your faith may be strengthened so that you can walk without sin or any deceit found in your mouth as you look to obey the Father. Any thoughts or comments on that before we kind of move on? All right. Matthew chapter 25. Is that clock right? Let me tell you what time it is. Okay. Matthew 25, 31 through 40, wherever we left off reading.
All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left.
Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in.
Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me."
Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink?
When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you?"
The King will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." You know, I just wrote down the point that, you know, how much we value, you know, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you," and how much we value the fact that we can abide in Christ. And He's using the picture of the vine in this section, and that Christ abides in us. How much we value that will determine our fruit. It just will. How much we value it will come from how much we believe it. So how much we believe it will determine how much we value it, and how much we value it will determine if we can bear fruit, or if we bear fruit, and how much. And I appreciate this section here because, you know, basically Jesus says, to the least you did it to these brothers of mine, you did it to me. You see, when you talk about fruit, the first thought that comes to my mind is the fruit of the Spirit, right? If Jesus indeed lives in you, and you buy in and you believe the message, and you truly appraise it with a great spiritual value that it is, it's going to change your life. It's going to turn you from being impatient to patient, from rude to kind, right? Forbearing, loving, being joyful. But along with that too, bearing fruit, is the vine continues to make more grapes. And that's what the church does. There's a great ministry of reconciliation, Paul writes to the Corinthians, telling his church that it's through the Spirit indwelt Christian that Jesus has taken this message out to the Gentile and to the whole world as we go out and get one more. And so we truly will be gathered in to Jesus' side on that day if we've gone out and impacted the lives of others. You can't close your heart to a brother in need next to you and say that the love of God abides in you. Okay? So he says, here, when they come, when did we see you hungry, sick, naked? When you did it to one of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. Okay. 1 John chapter 2. We'll just grab verses 5 and 6 where we left off. You guys are quiet tonight. Is it because we're all here in this big scary room?
I had a question.
Yeah.
What does he mean when he prunes you so you bear more fruit?
So, it's a really good picture because in the plant world, that's how you get a plant to bear more fruit.
Yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'd say when he's working with the individual Christian, it's a pruning process. As we grow in our faith, I think we also grow in our recognition of our weaknesses as well. And so the Lord's continually pruning us, but by that, He's putting us in situations and opportunities where He's exposing our weaknesses because He's refining us.
Showing us the joy in suffering.
The joy through suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would compare the pruning process to like the refiner's fire process that's also used in the scripture for the Christian. There's a very interesting process that the Christian goes through. I think for myself, you get into this and it's about you, isn't it? But I remember I got into this and I was studying with Luke and I was like, well, I want to know what I've been doing that I should stop doing and what I should start doing that I haven't been doing, you know? But at some point, as your faith grows and your love for Jesus grows, your love for what He wants grows as well. And He wants more branches. He wants more fruit. And so He really works on us to grow outside of our own desires and to getting to that point where Paul would write to the Philippians and say, regard one another as even more important than yourself. Okay. Yeah. I'll just use the example. You get married and you find out how selfish you are, and then you have kids and you find out how selfish you are. Like there's parts that Jesus is really working on our character through different processes in our life. It's a pruning and it's a refining fire, but it's so that our faith grows bigger and it's not centered on ourselves.
Refining fire, that's exactly what he's talking about. Huh? Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
Really
yeah.
Thinking.
Appreciate the question. Any other comments or questions? Yeah. What did I say? First John chapter 2? 5 and 6, and then one verse apiece wherever we left off.
But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him.
Hold on, wait, I can get there. I'm here.
First yep, John, chapter
2, verse 2.
Verse 6.
Okay. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked.
Okay. Straightforward, to the point. You say you abide, you better walk the same way. Alright? Alright, back here in John chapter 15, I gotta pick it up a little bit here. So in verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Let's go back to John chapter 12. Remind us of something here that Jesus said. In verse 24, in response to the Greeks who were seeking out Jesus, he says in John 12:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And so we went through this section, and clearly he's referring to himself, right? But it was Jesus who was willing to be the seed that would fall into the ground and die, so that he could come up new and bear fruit. You see, that's his spirit. That's who he is. He was willing to come, to go and be killed and put in the ground and die, so that he could come up and bear fruit. You know, I've just really appreciated this section because I have a grapevine on the side of my house. And so, you know, I've been looking at that thing all week. The snow is finally gone, so I can see the half of it. And, you know, the vine, you know, that part, it comes out of the ground. You see, it came from a seed. And that main part of that vine, it's founded in the ground there. That is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of the church. That is the foundation of our faith. And that vine goes up. But you see, that vine, it doesn't produce grapes. It produces branches. And so I think in your groups, you guys probably talked about that last week, that Jesus is the vine, and Jesus produces Christians. You see, but he was willing to come and die so that he could be raised and bear fruit. That vine, it makes branches, and the branches make grapes. But that's the spirit of our Lord. And so if we say we abide in Jesus, and we say, as John would write, then do as Jesus did, essentially, Jesus' desire is for more Christians. Jesus' desire is for his kingdom. And so that should become our desire. For me, it is always fun to talk about fruit. Because you can go towards your character, and you can go towards replicating after your own kind. And they are both right. One is not in opposition to the other. If you truly love someone, if you truly, as the fruit of the Spirit, have love in your heart, you cannot say you love someone and not love their soul. You have to share this gospel message with them. And so I really like talking about fruit and really bringing them together. Our Lord's desire is for His kingdom. I've been really appreciative of this message here. I mean, how consumed and how concerned is God with His church? It's everything. It is this vine that he is continually gazing at, looking for fruit. And when the branches aren't, he's also pruning them back. And when the pruning hasn't caused about a repentance, then he lops them off. But just really appreciative of the message that right now, in this moment, God is in heaven on his throne, and the number one thing that he is concerned with that matters to him more than anything else is his church and expanding it. Those whom he foreknew, that he knit together before they even been born, he knows that his church, through his spirit, is going to be the one to go get them. Our God, Lord Jesus, was willing to come and die as that grain of wheat so that he could produce more fruit. That's his spirit. That is who he is, and subsequently, that's the spirit in you, and so that's who you get to be. Any thoughts or comments on that? All right, let's see if we can move through here. So I just put our jobs to produce grapes, fruit. We must desire Christ's desires, which is more Christians. Guys, ignore any church growth fad that you hear flowing around there. You guys, there's lots of good stuff out there. There's great potlucks and church functions and youth group this and there's all kinds of ideas out there to get people to come in the doors. I think, was it Rich that said in his last meditation that when he was at assembly that they did the Lord's Supper like once a quarter or something? Guys, like, I've never been there, but I've just heard from those. Like, guys, like, they got like crazy lighting going on. They got very awesome inspirational music going on. Like, they are concerned about the ambience of this experience so that it doesn't lose its value. Like, a couple of you guys are smiling. Like, where? The value? Like, clearly, the value's being misplaced. All right? But there's no right way to build the church. There is just Jesus's way. There's lots of great material out there, and I've read some things from C.S. Lewis or, you know, Can Man Live Without God, Ravi Zacharias, that have been great to help me kind of understand the way people think, as it's helped me communicate. But really, at the end of the day, who is the best communicator ever? The Word, Jesus Christ, who became flesh. Who has the best illustrations? Jesus Christ and His parables. Who is the best teacher and communicator? It's Jesus Christ. The Lord is completely concerned with His church and growing it. Snatching one more from the grips of Satan. We have a tremendous part in that, guys. And I just want to encourage us to trust that Jesus has the perfect way. Okay? Live His gospel, know His gospel, live His gospel, and share His gospel. So I don't want to take a shot at any other great materials out there. There are things that people in, you know, that are part of assemblies, Church Christ assemblies here in Montana that have written, and they're great and they're good. But just don't miss and don't forget the perfect message, the perfect teacher, the perfect lesson, the perfect illustrations are right here. Live it and share it. Okay? All right, John 15, verse 5. I'm actually unsure. Do you guys normally finish up about 5, 10 minutes after out here? Or are we supposed to be done right at 8? May I say a little afterwards? Okay. Okay, well, that's good, because we got a couple more verses to go here. So we're going to use that time. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Guys, again, the grapevine. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. Okay? You know, make sure you're plugged in. So we kind of talked a little bit about this in opening, so I'll kind of move through this section. But make sure you're plugged in. Okay? But remember that, okay, yes, I'm plugged in. Remember, whose plan is it? Who's the vine? It's not you. Okay, it's Jesus. So whose plan is it? Is it Jesus' plan or is it your plan? And I know for me, that comes out when I start to worry or when I start to fix things that aren't going right in my life, trying to take the bull by the horns metaphorically and maybe not just trusting on Jesus' plan. You know, so first we want to be plugged in, desire the Lord's Supper, desire the kingdom, the church people, desire His word, desire prayer with God. You know, and I don't have to tell this group this. This is the Wednesday night dedicated Billings Christians. So you guys got this part down. But making sure that it's God's plan that, you know, that we're living according to. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. And we'll just grab verse 9. Again, where were we left off?
Yes.
Me too.
Me? No, I heard it right.
Just,
where are
we starting?
Proverbs chapter 16.
Verse 1?
Just verse 9, yeah.
Oh, verse
yep, just verse 9.
In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps.
I love this verse. The mind of a man plans his ways, right? But the Lord directs his steps. I guess I'll just pick on me, because I wouldn't be so brave to pick on anyone else. Like, sometimes I'm really good on planning my ways and then forgetting that the Lord's supposed to direct the steps. What does James say? Your life is but a, I guess if you're Lorenzo, like a squirt bottle, right? Yeah. Vapor. But yet you're so bold to say, oh, in a year I'm gonna go here, hon. Hey, we're gonna go move there in a year, and we're gonna buy a house and build an empire and, you know, sell some stuff and make some money. Like, guys, The mind of the man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And I just know that sometimes I catch myself being really good at planning the ways and forgetting that Jesus is supposed to direct the steps. And those things come out to me when I'm anxious and when I worry. And, you know, our Lord tells us that, because those are real feelings. If those come, our Lord prayed hard in the garden. But the thing is, if you're feeling that way, that's not from the Lord. So pray to Him. Pray. Is worrying? Worrying is essentially praying for what you don't want to happen. I mean, it's literally meditating. It is being concentrating and concerting on something. It's consuming your thoughts for a large part of the day. Pray. If you have the time to worry, you have the time to pray. And I am going to just flat out, I am talking to myself right now because I am very good at worrying. Okay? But for me, I've been really working on understanding. If I have time to worry, I have time to pray. Because really, they're different, but in practice, they're the same. If I have time to stop for a minute and have it consume my thoughts and dominate what's going up here in the think tank, I can turn it around and start offering it up to the Lord in supplication, saying, Lord, help me through this. How are you directing my steps? Okay. Any thoughts or comments before we kind of finish up here? Quiet. I think it's this big, scary room, you guys. You know? And I haven't been out here before, so. Trust the process. Trust the process. I don't, you know, everything I have stolen, but I remember, maybe it was Steve Doty. You know, you become a Christian, and essentially you get put on this assembly line. You know, and in the beginning, you've kind of got forgiveness of sins, I'm not going to hell. And that's kind of what it looks like. And it's just the frame of the car, right? But as you grow, you get more and more added on. The important part is that you stay on the conveyor belt, right? If through a spirit of repentance, you're willing to stay on that conveyor belt, okay, and you have faith and you're willing to grow, okay, God'll cause the growth. Okay? He'll transform the mind if you set it on things above. So the important part's to stay on. But whether it was a few years ago and you were just a frame, or it's right now and you've got a body and a chassis, but you're missing the plush upgrade with the leather and the stereo and all the fan, you are exactly where you are supposed to be at this moment. Okay. Stay on and persevere. Okay. Trust the process and trust the Lord's plan for your life. I just know there's been a few times this year where I've just kind of sat back and been like, I don't understand this. This can't be from the Lord. But then I remind myself, the Lord knows. Because the Lord is a vine. And the branches are His kingdom, and it is to bear fruit. And God is up there pruning this thing and lopping some off. He is concerned with it. Guys, there isn't anything going on in the church and in your individual lives that God does not know about. And so for me, that's something I've been able to really draw strength on. That when I, you know, the easy times, those are fun. You know, and we have big smiles and long conversations. But it's the tough times, right? Where it's hard for us to say, Lord, your will be done. You know, it's easy to say, oh, praise the Lord, what a miracle. You know, this is, it's crazy to see when the Lord brings these things together. But it's the tough times. But guys, the Lord knows. There is a directing of the steps being taken place in that moment. Okay, and He's looking for us to respond in a spirit of repentance. Okay? So I just wrote, trust the process. Okay. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. Guys, the vine isn't preoccupied with whether the branches are happy about their working environment. The vine isn't preoccupied with whether the branches are happy about their working situation. The vine's got one role, and it's to provide the nourishment through the roots. That's the life. It's found in Christ. And pump it to those branches so the branches can bear fruit. You look at anything out in the world, a culture that's running contrary to God, and it might take some a little longer than others, but you can trace it back to Satan. this whole world, this whole life's not fair. Yeah, it's not. In fact, this whole world is being tailor-made to snatch Christians out of the church. And the second you walk out those doors, everything's being tailor-made for you because Satan knows your habits, he knows your past, to pull you away. The vine, you know, its job is to supply the strength, to be strengthened in the inner man through the Spirit, to provide the faith, to provide the renewing, the nourishment so that the branches can go and bear fruit. Not particularly concerned with whether the branches are happy with the code of conduct policies. Guys, those are being written by Satan. Does that make sense?
And the worries come later, but he gives that to us now.
Say that again?
He said we're worrying about later on, but he gives us the power and strength right now.
Right, yeah, the power and strength right now. You know, it just reminds us in verse 1 here in John 15, Jesus says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. God's working. Sometimes it's not easy for us to see the plan in the moment, but the exhortation is God is working. Every branch of me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Pain and painful. That's, you know, that cutting process, that's what that looks like. So, I got to run through just a couple more things here, and then we'll wrap up. So the vine's job is to provide the nourishment to the branches. That's his job, and then the branches, us, we get to go and bear fruit. You know, you want to strike, you want to complain, you want to walk out, you get lopped off. This is the Lord's plan. We're so blessed to be a people that have the completed Word of God, so we can know the mind of Christ. And we can know our very God who indwells us through the life of Jesus, who is the Word, who is on these pages. We can see that when we go through this. Okay? That's our job. It's to truly know the Lord's plan and then conform our life to it. You know, we wanna strike, we wanna walk out, we wanna complain. Okay. This isn't your plan. You're gonna get lopped off. So he says in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. As I almost said I did a little yard work last year. I cut off a branch in my backyard. It was a big branch, though, so maybe that's why I felt like it was hard work. And I could not believe it. Like, literally hours later, I went out there, and all the leaves had already turned yellow. Like, I just... Yeah, duh, thanks, Nolan, you know, for teaching us something new, but... I mean, it just really hit me. Like, guys, hours later, and it is dying. It is already discolored. You know, you look at a tree, and it doesn't do a whole lot in the decade you live in your house. Right? It's hard to see that growth. But to understand how important it is to be attached to the main trunk, like, you get cut off, and you are dead. Hours later. That's the scriptural reality, you know? And, you know, I did landscaping for a number of years too, and one of the biggest jobs of pruning I ever did was actually up at the temple up here off Rimrock. And, oh, they got a lot of, you guys ever actually been up there? Ooh, they've got shrubbery. Like, it is, and it was a 2-day project, but the thing is, you guys, like, we pruned and we cut and we lopped off, but you leave all the dead stuff on the ground. And then when the work is done, you come back and you pick it all up and you throw it away. See, there's a communication here too of Judgment Day. Okay? The wheat and the tares, right? You don't go in there and start pulling out the tares lest you pull the wheat with it, right? You let them grow up together. And so here the Lord's saying, listen, these things, they get lopped off, but they also get left down. And right now, if they're not in Christ, they're outside those doors. Okay? Then dying and they're laying around. And the goal for us is to keep persevering because there is a day coming when our Lord's going to come and He's going to gather those up and He's going to throw them into the fire. And so the picture He's talking about specifically here in 6 is, it's hell. And I know we know that. But it's the place where the worm never is destroyed and the fire is never quenched. So, yeah, I guess in closing, just want to encourage us. That's not us. Okay, we abide in the vine. Continually test yourselves, as Paul said in his second letter to the Corinthians. See if you're in the faith. Okay? Abide in the vine. Because if you are and you do, it's the Lord's plan. Okay? That vine is Jesus Christ. And the branches, okay, those are the Christians. Their job is to bear fruit in accordance with the plan of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's close up with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You so much for Your eternal plan. And that truly You have desired to choose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. That we would be holy and blameless. Lord, there is an exhortation that when we are grafted in to this vine, being Gentiles, that we bear fruit. That we would be holy and blameless. For if we abide in Jesus, we ought to walk as He walked. We thank You so much that we can know His character and we can know how He did it. And that His very Spirit that walked this world perfectly. Paul even says to the Romans, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from dead lives in us. Lord, the amount of faith we have in that will determine the value we place on it, will determine the quantity and quality of the fruit that we produce. Jesus is the vine. He is the one that has gone into the ground and died and come out to bear fruit. The foundation is His resurrection, but the vine doesn't produce the grapes, the branches do. We are connected to Christ. It's His plan. May we continue to look and read through the gospel message to align our lives and our fruit with the plan of Jesus Christ, encouraging one another along the way. We pray for all those who may be suffering physically and spiritually that they would be healed. Lord, we pray for Your church as a whole. There is a great spiritual battle going on, and we have great power source that we can tap into. I just pray we continue to tap into it with a faith out of this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.